Mess up, y'all just keep praising. Praise God. Thank you.
God's redeeming blood, church. Hallelujah. We weren't saved. We wasn't purchased with gold nor silver. And the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away the sin of the world, but only the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. That and that alone. That blood that is still just as strong today as it ever was 2,000 years ago. Amen. Good to see all y'all smiling faces. We got a lot, y'all can tell we got a lot of folks out tonight. We are now right in the middle of football season, Thursday night, and volleyball, and what else we got going on Thursday nights in the school? Volleyball, football, and something else, huh? No, not right now. Baseball and softball, not yet. They come, huh? But, maybe soccer. So, Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. Lord God, we love who you are, Father. Lord God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that blood that is just as strong today as it ever was then. And Lord God, we thank you for the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one that will lead us and guide us into all truth, Father. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for the integrity of your word. We thank you, Father God, for the character and the attributes of who you are. And we thank you, Father God, for the work that you're doing within each and every one of our lives. Because according to your word, Lord, it says that you will finish the work that you've started in us. And you will do the good work in us, Lord, that pleases you. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us surrender all to you. Father God, help us have a fire in our belly in order to serve you. Lord, let us not grow weary. Let our love for you not wax cold. And Lord, whatever it is that goes on in this world, Father, I pray that you give your people, your body, the strength to stand. I pray that we not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Lord God, that we proclaim the gospel, that we are the mouthpieces of the Lord, and that we open our mouths and the glorious saving power of Jesus would come out of our mouths, pricking the hearts of those that hear the sound, and Father God, drawing them unto you by your Spirit. So Father God, I thank you for the people that are here tonight, and as we prepare to minister your word, I trust in you that you're going to say exactly what it is that you would have to say. I'm nothing here but a vessel to speak your word. And Lord, by the Spirit of truth, I believe that you will minister through me and give me the ability to speak it in a way that's applicable. And I believe, Father God, that same power that will be upon me will be upon those that are under the sound of my voice and those that are watching by way of internet. That, Lord, that your word go forth, make it through the ear, break the heart, Father God, and that it be planted deep into the soil of the heart of man and bring forth a hundredfold return. We ask it in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen. Sing us another.
Soften my heart and break.
may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong. Strong in me, my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit is strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith, trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Hearted, amen. Let me read a couple things to you here. Let's see. Old faithful Dr. Fauci says he faithfully supports COVID vaccine mandate for U.S. school children, when before he wasn't too worried about kids. California teacher tells students to pledge allegiance to the gay pride flag. Kentucky school district reports a group of students are dressing and acting like cats. Let's see, over 90 school bus drivers in Chicago quit after refusing to be vaccinated. Let's see, even zoo animals are now being vaccinated for COVID. 88-year-old professor resigns mid-class after student refuses to wear a mask. Oregon megachurch pastor has stepped down amid multiple allegations of sexual misconduct. COVID vaccine tattoos. COVID vaccine tattoos, biometrics, and the mark of the beast. VP of National Religious Broadcasters fired after voicing opinion on COVID vaccine. So if you speak out against anything that does not fit what people want it to fit, your job's in jeopardy, you'd be fired, you'd be forced out, whatever it is, okay? Let's see. One of the there's a self-proclaiming evangelist under fire for offering religious exemptions for COVID vaccines for donations. That's what screws the church up right there. Yeah, pimping it out. Yeah, you send me $25, I'll send you a religious exemption. I did like this. John MacArthur's church received a massive $800,000 settlement after defying COVID health orders. So the city or Los Angeles County, whichever one it was, had to pay him $800,000. Let's see. Nearly 90 retired generals and admirals are calling for the defense secretary to resign. Pastor Rick Warren says, if you love your neighbor, wear your mask. I never have liked that guy. Never have. Yeah, I never have liked that guy. In the picture of him right here, if this is where he said it, he ain't got no mask on when he's saying it. CDC says unvaccinated should not be traveling for the Labor Day weekend. Board of Supervisors in California becomes first in the nation to declare COVID-19 misinformation a public health crisis. So they're saying COVID-19 misinformation is a public health crisis. So what do you do to a public health crisis? You eliminate it. So if you're speaking about COVID-19 against it, you become part of the public health crisis. Okay? Facebook is now reducing political and current events in your feed to help curb misinformation. So if they don't like what you got to say, they just shut you down. In a nice way, you know, even though we got the right, you know, freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want to say as long as we don't like it, or as long as we like it. If we don't like it, then we just shut you down. Biden and Fauci discussed requiring COVID booster shots every 5 months. Okay? All right, just keep on going. Biden vows to protect Roe versus Wade, which is the abortion law, after Texas abortion law goes into effect. Majority of U.S. companies may mandate COVID-19 vaccine in upcoming months. Let me explain this to y'all. Like I said, this vaccine I do not believe is the mark of the beast, okay? But I also do not believe that the mark of the beast is just going to come out here one day and somebody's going to say, here's the mark of the beast, take it. No. It's going to come in a way, it's going to be gently or heavily forced upon people in the disguise of good for society, okay? In the disguise. Now, people may say, well, Kevin, what about this vaccine? People got this vaccine. People got the polio vaccine. People got. I understand that. But that stuff was years and years and years and years and years in the making. Okay? This vaccine here, it come out in I don't know how many months. Okay? And you cannot deny, whether the news media wants to report it or not, there are some adverse side effects to it. All right? And if it works so great, why are people having to take it every 5 months? Why are people having to get boosters? Why are people having to do this? Why are people... So I just there's just too many questions out there. But what where this thing is headed, the way that it appears, is, like I said, it's going to get to a place to where most of these major corporations are bowing their knees, okay, instead of standing. And it's going to get to a place to where if Americans don't stand up, to where you're not going to be able to go in and buy anything without having this vaccine. And that's what it's going to be. That's what they're trying to get it to. That's where they're trying to get it. Now, the Bible says that you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you what? Have this mark, right? So me personally, I mean, I think people that have taken the vaccine, I don't have nothing against people that have taken the vaccine. I don't think they're going to hell or anything like that. But me personally, on my stance and where I stand as a pastor of a church, that's just a little too close to home for me. If you tell me that I can't come into your business unless I have a vaccine plus wear a mask, which I don't understand the purpose of that. If the vaccine works, why you got to wear a mask? Right? I don't see too many people walking around that, you know, trying to protect themselves from polio nowadays by wearing a mask or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? All right. So all this stuff going on, all right. Amherst College requires COVID-19 tests twice a week and double masking indoors. WHO adds new COVID variant, MU, to its watch list and warned that it could evade vaccines. So there's some of your local news updates, all right, of what's going on in this nation. Praise God. Let's open up the Word and let's get into it. Kids, kiddos, y'all follow Bailey and Jacoby back. Amen. Youth, follow Brother Sean back. And the rest of you stuck in here with me tonight. Like I said, our Thursday nights are kind of slim during football season, volleyball season, and all that stuff. So that means that we go longer. Y'all got that? Because y'all, for those of y'all that don't know around here, you got volleyball and football on Thursday nights, junior high volleyball, football. I get probably, I don't know if Emily's at volleyball tonight, but I know Hunter and Em are involved in volleyball and all that stuff. So you got a lot of stuff going on. I know all of Amy's kiddos are going to volleyball tonight. My Derek, my nephew and stuff, they got football games tonight. So I don't know. We might change to Wednesday nights in the midweek service during this time of year. Amen. All right, let's get into the Word, y'all. I want you to open up your book to Mark, your Bible to Mark chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the integrity of God's Word. Amen. If we pause, I know I'm not big on putting messages or titles on messages just because I don't ever think about it, but I'm really going to start trying to get better at putting titles on messages. But I want to talk to you about the integrity of God's Word tonight. The integrity of God's Word, you can count on it more than anything else. Amen. The integrity of God's Word. So I want to look at Mark chapter 4 because I believe Mark chapter 4 is a great example of the integrity within God's Word. Amen. And that word integrity, I want to look it up real quick. Now I'm just going to look it up in my, let's see here. I didn't want to look it up. I didn't write it down. So let me look this up. I apologize. Let's see. Integrity means wholeness, entireness, unbroken state. So we've got his word in its wholeness and its entireness and its unbroken. The entire unimpaired state of anything. Okay, it goes on and says state of anything particular of the mind, moral soundness, or purity. Incorruptness, uprightness, honesty comprehends the whole moral character, but has a special reference to uprightness in mutual dealings, transfers of property, and agencies for other. So this is what the integrity of God's Word is. Amen. The integrity of God's Word is perfect. God is not a man that's double-tongued. God is not a man that makes some mistakes. God is not somebody that says one thing and means something else. All right? The integrity of His Word, you can count on the integrity of God's Word. All right, now as we look at this, I want to go to Mark chapter 4. And the first verse that I want to read to you is going to be, he said that Mark, did I just go dead? No. Sower sows the word. Let me see. I didn't write it down. Let me see here. I think it's 4:13. Nope, I don't know. 14, okay, I knew it was right there. It says the sower sows the word. When we look at that, the sower soweth. The sower sows the word. That word sower soweth right there, that means to scatter. So I want you to get this idea when somebody's out, if you, any of you have ever worked in the field, if any of you's ever worked putting gardens in, if you've ever grown anything, all right, what you do is you go along, and the picture that you got here is that the sower, which would be a picture of a farmer, and what this person does is he walks along and he sows. He scatters seed on the ground. He'll grab a handful of it. Another way to look at it would be a broadcaster. A broadcaster is something that you hold in your hand or you can hook it up behind a tractor. It depends on the size of it. You fill it up with seed, and as you drive that tractor across the field, it will spin and it will throw that seed out. Have you ever seen a fertilizer? When you fertilize a yard, you put fertilizer in it, you fill up the tub, however big it is, you walk it, and you can open up the hole on the bottom to determine how much fertilizer it's going to throw. All right? So these are what a broadcaster, these things, what are they made to do? They are made to what? To scatter seed. And the whole job is you want to get as much seed or however you want to adjust it, but get that seed onto the ground, and you want to cover as much of that ground you know, with the right amount of room that the seed can still grow the way it's supposed to grow. But the whole purpose of that broadcaster, the whole purpose of it is to get as much seed on that ground as you can, to cover as much ground as you can with that seed, okay? And I want you to understand that he says that the sower sows the word. You and I, that is my job and that is your job. We are to take the gospel. We are broadcasters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what you and I are to do, it is our job to take the word of God out, and we are to sow the word of God into as many lives as we can sow it. Amen. We're not to worry about where it's going to land, because when somebody's sowing seed, they don't worry about where it's going to land. When you put it in there, you push and you walk, and wherever the seed falls, that's where it falls, okay? And when we are out, it's not up to you and I to determine who deserves to hear it and who doesn't deserve to hear it. It's not up to you and I to say, well, he looks like he's ready to hear it, but I don't think he's ready to hear it. It looks like she'll receive it, but I don't think she'll receive it. It is my job and it is your job to bring the gospel to as many people as we can get it to. Amen? That's our job, all right? Now, it goes on when we jump down to 426, all right? And he said, so end, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. I'm going to start out in 426. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. That's New King James. I'll read it out of King James. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And that word cast means to throw, to let go of a thing without caring where it falls. All right? That means that when he grabs that seed, that he's throwing that seed out there, and he has no care of where the seed falls. Why? Because he knows wherever the seed falls that some of those seeds are going to grow. Not every one of those seeds may grow, but he knows that wherever he throws that seed that it's going to grow. He knows that if he throws a handful of seed over here, that maybe not every single one of them is going to grow, but he knows because he put the seed there that something's going to grow, something's going to sprout, something's going to come up. All right? So that's why he sows the seed. Why? Because he's got faith that when he puts the seed onto the ground, that it's going to grow. But if he didn't think that the seed was going to grow, he'd never put it on the ground. It is faith that motivates him to put the seed on the ground. Y'all with me on this? All right, so when you cast it, you and I were to look at our life the same way. We are not to determine where the word of God is going to grow and who we think is going to grow in and who we think it's not going to grow in. Our job is to bring the word of God to as many people as we can, because somebody's going to get a hold of it. Somebody's going to grow out of it. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to become a disciple. But the only way that somebody ain't going to become a disciple is if you and I don't throw the seed. The only way something on that ground is not going to grow is if we don't put the seed there. Does that make sense? All right, so when we look at this, now watch. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast. That means where it falls, to scatter, to throw, cast into, to give over. All right, and he goes on, cast into the ground. Now I want you to understand something. The ground right here is man's heart. All right, now let's look at this. Let's go to 427. And should sleep. Now listen here. I'm going to read these back to back. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Now what are we talking about here? We're talking about the integrity of God's word. We're talking about that God's word is going to perform what God's word has been sent to do. All right? What you and I do doesn't stop God's word. Amen? His word is going to go into the earth, and his word is going to do. What did he do? He said he sent his word to perform what he sent it to do, and he said it shall not return unto him void. Amen? Jesus Christ is the word that became flesh. Jesus Christ is the word, Emmanuel, God with us, that was sent into this earth, and he walked this earth as a man, all right? And Jesus come into this earth, it was prophesied thousands of years before he came. He prophesied, he come into this earth, it was prophesied by the prophets. What did he do? He come into this earth, he faced sin, he destroyed sin, he destroyed the penalty of sin at the cross of Calvary. He rose from the dead, he ascended on high, victorious. Why? Because God sent the word and it did not return unto him void, but it accomplished what he sent it to do. All right? Does that make sense? All right? Now, let's break this down. And should sleep. Now, listen to this. What does sleep mean? That's what you and I all do. The man, he would go out, now listen, and he would sow the word of God. He would go out during the day, and he would sow the word. He'd go out on his work, and he'd put the word on. He'd put the seed on the ground. He'd go out during the day, and he'd sow it. He'd sow some here, sow some there, spend all day sowing the seed, spend all day casting the seed, spend all day. And then what's the next thing he does here? The next thing he does is after his work's done, he goes in and he goes to sleep. He goes in and he lays down. He's not in there praying over the word, which I'm not saying we shouldn't, but right here he sowed the word. He's not in there trying to make it grow. He's not threatened over it. He's not sweating over it. He's not doing anything. Why? Because this is the understanding that he has, and this is the Christians need to have. He knows that when he throws that word on the ground, he can go in there and go to sleep. Why? Because when he puts the word on the ground, when he puts the word into the soil, he knows, and this is even for the heathen, this is for the man that's not born again, that person knows that by putting that seed onto the ground, that it's going to grow. Ground was made to receive the seed, incubate the seed, germinate the seed, and then cause the seed to grow. Everybody knows that. Every single person in this room knows that if you put seed in the ground, you know that you know that you know that you know that it's going to grow. And that seed is not alive. You can sit there and hold it in your hand all day, and it'll never sprout. You can lay it up here on this table, it'll never sprout. You can lay it on your coffee table, it'll never sprout. You can put it in a coffee cup, it'll never sprout. You can put it in your cabinet, it'll never sprout. You can keep it in a coffee can, it'll never sprout. Your Bible, you can put it on the coffee table, it'll never grow. You can put it on your shelf, you'll never learn it. You can carry it with you everywhere you go, it'll never get in you. You can hold it close to your chest, you're not going to absorb it. The seed only grows when you get it in the ground. The seed will only grow when you get it in the ground. And the word of God will only grow in us when we get it past the surface level and get it deep into our heart. We got to get the word of God down into our heart. And I believe today we've got so many people that are going to church, so many people that even get up and do their Bible studies in the morning, do their Bible reading, but the word of God has not got down into their heart. The word of God has not got down into their heart, and therefore it's not producing. The heart, in the same way that the ground was made to receive the seed, our heart is made to receive the word of God. And if we put that seed anywhere but in the dirt that it was made to grow in, it's not going to produce. We can leave it on the coffee table, like I was saying, it don't produce. We can bring it to church with us. It don't produce. You can bring that seed, you can pray over it, but you still got to walk outside, you still got to stick it in the ground. And it's the same way with the word of God, that we can go through all the motions, we can do this, we can do that, we can carry our Bible studies, our Bibles close to our chest, we can get a bigger Bible, we can get a thicker Bible, we can go through all this, we can argue the word, we can go backwards and forth, but until the truth of the word of God gets in our heart, it produces no victory. It produces zero victory. Listen to me, church. I believe this all with all my heart. Y'all, excuse me. It is only the truth of the word of God that produces victory. That is it. And nothing else. All right, let me read on. And should keep, I don't know why my throat's so dry, and should keep. So this man, when he'd plant that word, what would he do? He'd go plant that seed. He'd go in there and lay down. He'd go in there and lay down. He wasn't worried about it. He wasn't fretting about it. He wasn't saying, oh, Lord, I hope the seed grows. 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 Lord, please, 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 please. No, the seed is going to do what the seed does. If you get the seed in the soil, it's going to grow. That's what it's going to do. That's why he didn't see, here's what had to happen. He could sit there and look at the seed all day and say, I wish your seed to grow. I wish your seed to grow. I wish your seed to grow. Lord, make this seed grow. Make this seed grow. Make this seed grow. Lord, make this seed grow. You pray over that seed all day. But if you're holding it in your hand, that seed ain't going to do nothing. And we got too many people walking around, Lord, change me. Lord, fix me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, heal me. But they're not getting that seed of the Word of God into their heart, and they're wondering why nothing's happening. They wonder why nothing's happening. They're carrying it around. They got all the positive confessions. We know all the right things to say. And just because we got a scripture memorized in our head doesn't mean it's in our heart. Amen? Because the Bible tells me that if you are my disciple, you will continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I am 100% believe that when you know the truth of the Word of God, the truth of it, not when you got some misguided understanding in your mind and you're forming your own thoughts and your own opinions and your own ideas and what you think. You got to get away from what you think and allow the Word of God to dictate. See, I might think that this seed is going to grow in my hand, but no matter how long I hold it, it's not going to grow. It's not going to grow until I quit thinking it's going to grow in my hand and I get it in the ground that it deserves to be in. Then it's going to grow. And I don't care what my ideas are about the Word of God, what your ideas are about the Word of God. If the Word of God does not line up, if it's not the truth in our heart, then it's not going to produce the fruit that it needs to produce. It's not going to do it. And that's why I believe we got so many people today that are not walking into victory that God has called us to walk in, because we don't have the truth of the Word of God in our heart. The truth of it. He says, if you are my disciple, you will continue in my word, and then you shall what? Truth. We got a lot of people that know a lot of stuff but don't know the truth. The Bible says, forever gaining knowledge but never growing, getting into truth. I'm here to tell you that if you know the Word of God, and if that Word of God gets down in your heart, the truth of the Word of God, then it's going to produce in your life just like a seed produces in the ground. It's going to produce. I'm not saying it's going to produce. You're going to start cars and houses and dollar bills. That's not what I'm saying. Amen? All right, let's go here. So the guy, we're seeing the picture here, that the guy goes out and he does what he does. What does he do? He goes out and he sows the word. And then he goes in there and goes to bed. And he lays down and he goes to sleep. He goes in there and he goes to bed. He goes out, he gets the seed. He studies where he's going to put it. He looks at the ground where he's going to put it. Needs some seed there, needs some seed there, needs some seed there. Then he goes in there and goes to sleep. He's not out there going, when's that seed going to grow? When's it going to grow? When's that harvest going to come? When's the seed going to grow? When's it going to happen? Lord, you know what I've been doing here. When's my ship going to come in? Lord, when's my ship going to leave? Lord, when you going to send me that woman? Lord, when you going to send me that man? Lord, when you going to send me this? Lord, when you going to send me that? Lord, when you going to do this? No. The man went in there, and he was able to lay down and go to sleep. Why? Because he knew he sowed the word. He sowed the seed, and the seed's going to grow. The seed's going to grow. He had faith that if he puts the seed on the ground, the seed's going to grow. If he puts the seed in the soil, the seed is going to grow. All right? All right, let's look here. So, and he sows the word, he goes in, he lays down, and then he rises. He gets up and does what he does. He gets up and he goes back to work. He gets up and he goes, we know that the seed is going to do what the seed is supposed to do, whether I'm there or whether I'm not. He knows that that seed is going to grow, whether he's sleeping, whether he's awake, whether he's watching it, or whether he's at his buddy's house. That seed is going to do what that seed is supposed to do. The soil is the heart. The seed is the Word of God. Okay? He knows it's going to do it. And if we had the same faith in the Word of God, if we had the same faith in the maker of the seed as we do in the seed, we'd see the same results in our own life. We got faith that that seed's going to do what it's supposed to do. That's the reason we put it on the ground. But we don't have faith that God's going to do in our life what he says he's going to do according to his word, yet he's the one that made the seed. And when you don't have faith, you don't spend time in the word. See, if I don't think the seed's going to grow, I'm not going to plant it. Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you in here has ever planted a garden? Okay? Planted a garden, right? You have, Michelle? Let me ask you. Huh? Planted pot? You planted pot, you said? What you just said? Or did you put this? Oh, you put them in pots. I know. But why didn't you throw? Why didn't you just go throw it on the concrete? Why'd you put it in soil in a pot instead of throwing it on the concrete? Well, I mean, why did you not just throw it on the concrete? I mean, seed's going to grow, right? No? So you didn't throw them on the concrete because, you know, if you throw it on the concrete, you had faith that if you threw it on the concrete, it wasn't going to grow. But if you put it in the soil, it's going to grow. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. I believe this with all my heart. The reason many of us don't get up and spend time in the Word of God is the same reason that she didn't sow the seed on the concrete, because she knew that if she threw it on the concrete, it wasn't going to grow. And I believe many of us think that the Word of God is really not going to do anything in my life, so we don't even spend time in it. Why put that into my heart? Because it ain't going to do nothing anyway. Because if you truly knew it was going to do something, you'd be eating it up. You'd be eating it up. If you knew it was going to change your attitude, if you knew it was going to change your character, if you knew it was going to change your morals, if you knew it was going to do something, you would be planting that word every single day. Every day. That makes sense to us? All right, let's look here. And he said, you know what? He had sold the word. He didn't worry about it. He'd go in there, he'd go to bed, and he'd get up and go to work the next morning. He'd go to bed, and he'd rise up. Night and day. This is what he'd do. Sold the word. Sowed it. He didn't go out there and sow over it every day again. He just went in there. Bible says he sowed it. He'd go in there, he'd go to bed, and he'd rise up day by day, day by day, being patient, trusting that the seed's going to do what the seed's supposed to do. I'm going to talk to you about effortless change here, all right? The integrity of God's word, how it brings about change in your life, all right? Now, and he goes, and he said, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow. What grew? Did he make the seed spring and grow? No. His job was to plant it. And he went to work. He carried on about it a day. Wherever he planted seed, he knew that the seed was going to do what the seed was supposed to do. He planted it. And the Bible says that it's the seed that sprung and grew. It's the seed that's going to do what the seed is supposed to do. Amen? But what ends up happening in our life is you and I, if we would adopt the same thing when it comes down to reading the Word of God and spending time with God and spending time in prayer. See, there's too many times a day that we want a result right now. And when we don't see the result right now that we want, we quit doing what it is that we're doing, and we never see the results that we desire. Because we're not willing to put in the time. Because we want it right now. If I read the Word of God, if I go to church for 2 weeks and read the Word of God for 2 weeks, I expect my wife to come back home, my kid to be delivered off dope, and my dog to be resurrected from the dead. And if it don't, then it don't work. So what do? We quit. And when we quit doing it, we never see the result of the seed. I'm going to show that to you here in just a second. He said he sleeps. He lays down. He rises night and day. And the seed should spring up. The seed is going to grow because that's what it does. That's what the seed does. If you put the seed in the ground, it's going to grow. Why? Because you prayed over it for 6 hours? No, because that's what it does. Right? It's just what it does. It's the whole reason you had faith to put it in the ground. Now, here's the part. To get that seed in the ground, that's the part that takes some work. You have no power to make the seed grow, but you do have the power to prepare the place where the seed is going to be thrown. Right? You got that power. And you can go out there. I can show you other examples in the Bible where the man who sowed into the rocky soil, what did he tell him to do? He said, go out there and what? Remove what? The rocks. Get them out of the soil. Why? Because the rocks are going to limit the growth of the seeds. They're going to limit how much ground the seeds can get into. It's going to limit that. Why? Because some of it's going to land on the rock and not grow, or some of the rocks that are below the surface is going to keep the roots from getting down and growing. It's going to cause it to be shallow. So what did he tell him to do? He said, go remove the rocks. Get the rocks out of the field. Why? Because it limits the growth. See, there's too many of us that got rocks in our life. And the reason that we never see the seeds grow is because we don't remove the distractions, the rocks. We don't remove the things out of our life that robs us from the time that we're supposed to spend from God. Now, here's what you got to understand. That when I planted a lot of gardens, I've done a lot of garden work, a lot of field work. Most of your rocks, you can see some rocks that are laying on the surface, but the ones that you really want to get are the ones that are under the surface. And in order to get those rocks under the surface, you may have to get down there and you may have to get a little bit dirty. You may have to dig down under the dirt a little bit. You may have to drop a rake across there and turn them rocks over in order to see them, in order to find them. The work is this. The work is not you making the seed to grow, but the work is you preparing your time and preparing your heart and preparing your mind to spend time with God so that the Word of God is not just surface level, but it gets deep down in there. How do you do that? You remove distractions. You remove obstacles. And you've got to have your time to where you can sit down and study the Word of God without distractions, without other things going on. Put your phone up, put your cell phone away, put these things away, and when you see something really good and the Holy Ghost shows it to you, that's not time to take a break and stick it on Facebook, but instead throw your hands up and say, thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me. But to prepare the ground is to study the Word of God out. Study and show thyself approved, that your progress may be seen by all. So many times today, we are so shallow in our walk with God, and so easily offended, and so easily upset, and so unstable. Why? Because we are not removing the distractions. We're not removing the things so that the Word of God can get deep into our heart. Deep in there. Deep. Deep. That's my job and your job. My job is to prepare this soil. My job is to prepare. Find me a place to where there's no distractions, a long time with God, to where I can read the Word, get me out a concordance, get me out some stuff to where I can break the Word down, preparing my heart to receive the seed of God so it can produce in my life. My job is to prepare for the seed. His job is to cause it to grow. That's the works part right there. Not me. See, and people get that works part backwards. See, the guy had to prepare the field. We know that Jesus tells us to prepare the soil, right? He had to prepare it, right? Y'all agree with that? Prepare it. He says, there's rocks in there, get it out. He tells us that. That's you and I. We are to prepare our time. That's my part. And I got to spend time with God. No distractions. 30 minutes. That's 30 minutes. If it's 15 minutes, if it's an hour, it's better to have 15 minutes a day of just you and God, quality time. You can spread a lot of seed in 15 minutes. My job is to come to the Lord with a heart, with my mind focused, ready to get into the Word, ready to spend time with Him, removing distractions, letting that Word get down in my heart, not just the surface level, because in the middle of it, my phone's text messaging, I'm having to send a text message, I'm having to holler at the kids, I'm having to do this, I'm having to do that, and then I read through some devotional, I read a few scriptures, I get up, close it, and don't think about it the rest of the day. That's why I believe right there that people's lives don't change. Why? Because we got the promise of the Word. It says what? It says, if you're my disciples, you'll continue in my Word, then you shall know what? The truth, which is what? His Word. And what's the result? You'll be free. Turn off other preachers to where they're influencing you and what they believe. You have got to have that time of day to where God is speaking to you. That makes sense. God is speaking to you. You, all of us have got to have that alone time with God. All right, now let's look here. And the seed should spring and grow. The seed's just going to do what the seed does. And check this out. This guy that planted it, check this out. And he knoweth not how. Wait a minute. Hold on. You mean I just go out here and spread some word, then I go in there and go to sleep, and then I get up and go back to work the next day, and then I go back in there and I go back to sleep, then I get back in there and I go to work the next day, and then all of a sudden I'm walking by one day where I've walked by 7 days before that, 10 days before that, and I'm walking by and I'm like, check that out. Where'd that come from? Well, I threw some seed down there the other day. I didn't think it was going to grow there. That ground's kind of hard. He goes, I don't know how it growed. He don't know how it happened. He said, this is the only thing I know. I planted the seed like you're supposed to. I just planted the seed. Listen, if you and I will continue putting the Word of God in our life and be dedicated to the study of the Word of God, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a change in your life, and you're not going to know how it got there, but the reason that it happened was because the seed in your heart, the seed of the Word of God, has now started producing. Kevin, you're different than you used to be. Yeah, some stuff growing. Taking it a little while. What did you do? Really don't know. Just kept on reading God's word and praying. Kevin, you're a little more calm than you used to be. You think I'm calm now? People say, that's calm. You should have seen me 10 years ago. That's Billy. That's Monica. Billy told me today, he goes, you seem a lot more laid back than what you used to be. You seem a lot more patient. Maybe. I don't notice the change, but he ain't been here but a week and he noticed that. He's like, where'd that come from? I don't know. I know not. Here's what I've been doing. Staying in that book. I don't know how the change came. Did it come because I got up every day? Lord, change me. I need to focus on this area. Lord, change me. Fix this area right here. No, the Word of God will do what the Word of God does. And I know not how it always does it. Here's my job. Stick my face in it. It's not my job to figure it all out. That man that planted it, it wasn't his job to measure it. See how figure it wasn't. No, I study, but it's not my job to figure it all out. The Lord will show it to me as it grows. My job is to just keep sowing the seed, putting that word in, spending that time with God. My job is to prepare my heart. My job is to prepare this soil. How do I do that? By making regular times to spend with God, closing down the distractions, let the seed get in my heart. Then all of a sudden, my wife tells me stuff like, Evan, you ain't the same. Something's different. What happened? I don't know. You start doing something different? No. You start going to counseling? No. You start going seeing a psychiatrist? No. How about anger management? No. What'd you do? Nothing. I don't know, really. Just getting that book every day. See, that's too simple. We want to make it. Oh, you got to get, how'd you change? Let me tell you what I done, John. If you do, you won't get what I got. You won't do what I done. Okay. I agree with that to a point. I say that a lot often about me and my wife. You want to have a marriage like me and my wife have, you got to be willing to deal with some of the things that we dealt with. You know? Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Let me tell you how to imitate. In that book, read. Pray. Well, Paul didn't have a book to write. That's right. He didn't have the Bible to read, so he wrote it. Amen. And then he went back and read it. He's like, oh, Lord, this is some good stuff. Amen. And he knoweth not how. The man doesn't know how the seed grows or what makes it grow. He just knows that his job is to plant the seed in the ground, continue doing what he does, and the seed is going to grow. So many times we read it just for a little bit, and we're like, this is not working. It's not working. So we quit reading it. And we're never going to see the growth if we quit planting a seed. All right? Let's read on here. Here's some stuff that I wrote down today. Many people are going to say, I just don't understand what you're talking about. How can reading the Word of God really change me and cause God's life to come alive inside me? I don't fully understand it either. Why? I can prove that scripturally. See, too many times a day we think we got to know everything. Scott tell me one thing that used to drive him crazy. He'd ask me something, I'd look at him sometimes and say, I don't know. I'd look at him, and he'd say something about the Word of God, and I'd you know, say something else about the Word of God. And he'd be like, yeah, but Kevin, it says right here. And I'd say, yeah, I know. Well, do you believe that? Yeah, I do. Because I wouldn't sit there and argue with him about it. He'd be like, well, do you believe? Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. I don't have to refute it. That's what God's Word says. It says it right there. You know, so when we look at this, I don't fully understand it either, but I know it works. All right? When I plant a seed in the ground, I have faith that the seed is going to grow. That's why I plant it. I don't know how it works, but it does. All I have to do is plant. God's Word does the same thing in us. If I will read it, plant it into my heart, then it's going to change me. I don't know exactly how, but it will grow in my life. I don't have to understand everything about it and how it works, but it does. I don't understand how you can put a seed in the ground and it produce a stalk, then a leaf, and then the whole ear of corn with the multiple ears of corn and reproduce 100-fold. I don't have to understand the science of it. I just know it works. So is the Word of God in my life. I will plant it into my heart. I don't have to have all the details figured out, but it will grow. First the blade, then the stalk, then the fruit. It just works. That's what I need to know. That's how simple the gospel is. I don't understand that. Okay. What do you understand? Do you understand about planting a seed? Yeah. Get to plant. Just plant. Well, when's it going to grow? Let me tell you. When you see that sprout sticking up out of the ground, something's happening. And long before you see that sprout, something's going on under the surface. Mark 4:28. For the earth bring forth fruit of herself. Now listen to this. I got a little ahead of myself a while ago. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. God made the soil of the earth to receive the seed. You plant it, it grows. He made it that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because the Bible tells us about all of what preaches the gospel. See, church, listen to me. I was talking to Scott and Billy and everybody about this the other day, and Richard, and we was at the gym. We was working out, and we was sitting there, man, and we were talking about it. And I said, listen, man, I said, here's what I understand about God's Word, is that all of creation preaches the gospel, what the Word says, right? We can look at creation and tell there's a God, right? I believe the enemy's biggest plan today is to keep us, one of the biggest plans is to keep us distracted from that. Let me tell you why. The Bible tells us that creation, all we got to do is look at creation. So that's the reason why. And we look at a society today, ain't got no more clue about creation than a man in the moon. We are so overwhelmed by doing my little TikToks and doing all my stuff. Our time is so consumed. I'm so consumed with this right here that I'm sitting here. I got to do my videos. I got to do my Facebook videos. I got to sit here and look at this. My senses have continually got to be entertained. Whether it's music, got to stick my earbuds in. I got to have music pumping into my ears. And then as soon as I get in my car, it goes from my ear deals to my radio, Bluetooth. Then I got to have that blasting. And then when I get out of the car and stop for a second, oh, I got to do me a quick video because, you know, everybody wants to see me. And then I got to get to the gym. Then I got to put my earplugs back in. And then I got to get in there and I got to do this. And then when I get back out to my car, I got to have my radio back on because, after all, that's how I get my word right there. And then I got to go. Then I got to get my phone out 27 more times. And then I got to let everybody know what it is that I'm doing. Okay, I got to put all my stuff on here. We are so enamored by all of this stuff going on, all of this stuff that's got our attention, that we don't even have time to allow the Creator to speak to us through His creation. That's why, man, when I go and I do stuff, I ride people's tail, put your phone up, quit it, put it down, put your phone up. Why? Just listen. That's why when I go to the gym, just let it talk to you. I know people think I'm weird when I do that. Let it talk to you. Just let what you're doing, let it talk to you. Shut down everything else. Shut it down. Instead of having to have your senses to be entertained all the time and you completely repeating what somebody else is speaking into your ear, shut down and use this time and see if God will minister to you through this and show you something. Most of the revelations we got didn't come from God. They come from what somebody else said, and we're trying to rob them and make them ours. Shut down. Turn the radio off. Out there on the lawnmower. Wah! And then you got somebody screaming in your ears. Just shut down and just look. Say, Lord, we're cutting this grass. What are you trying to show me here? Lord, when I'm in here working out, what is he trying to show me? He'll start talking to you about resistance. He'll start talking to you about resisting the devil. He'll start talking to you about how you get stronger, the more weight you put on. You're going down the road. You're driving down the road. You're outside doing some work. He'll just start showing you all this stuff. He'll start tying into the Word of God. But we're always looking for somebody else's revelation. And we are got to have something pumping in all the time. All the time. And he says, creation will minister to you. But we want to take this right here and let the Creator spend more time showing us stuff, or the creation spend more time showing us stuff than the Creator. You cannot convince me that we got this stuff pumping into our eyes. And boy, I'm telling you, it's got people. It's got people. It makes me absolutely nauseous. It's sad. Really sad. And my iPhones, all this stuff, there are people more addicted to that than crack ever had anybody. I guarantee you, I walk away from methamphetamines and alcohol easier than people walk away from their phones. I'm telling you. Society ate up with it. And we think it's normal. All right, let's look here. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. God made the earth to receive the seed, incubate the seed, and germinate the seed. And then what does the seed do? Releases life. That's what he made the earth to do. He made the earth for the seed to go into the earth. It's the only environment that'll make that seed grow. Put it in that dirt. Coffee table don't make it do it. Concrete parking lot don't make it grow. Asphalt don't make it grow. Holding it in your hand don't make it grow. The only thing that makes it grow is you putting it in that dirt. That makes it grow. The Word of God, our heart, was made to receive the Word of God. And it's when the Word of God gets into my heart and gets into your heart and grows, then others can benefit from it. That's why when you plant one kernel of corn, you plant one kernel of corn, that kernel of corn that grows, and then it has many ears of corn on it, and now multiple people can come and eat from that one seed. That's what the Word of God does when it gets down into our heart. Then we put that word, the one word, the Word of God into our heart. And when it grows and it starts manifesting and it comes out, how many lives can we affect that can eat from the words of life that are coming out of our mouth? But if you don't get it in there, deep in there, so your heart was made to receive the Word of God. Holding the Bible, placing it on a coffee table, carrying it in your car, wearing a cross around your neck, or getting you one of them awesome Christian tattoos, don't do squat. I remember one time I was walking into a Dairy Queen. There was these men standing outside. I was walking up, one of them had a big old tattoo of a cross on his arm. As I was walking up there, man, I just heard him, man. He was just filthy mouth, using God's name in vain, all that stuff. And I walked up to him, and when I got up there, I was like, hey, man, I said, you must be a Christian. He goes, why you say that? I said, well, I've seen that big old cross tattoo on your arm, and, you know, I mean, that's a symbol of where Jesus Christ died for my sin and your sin. And I was like, so you must be a Christian. He's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, you like it? I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, I am a Christian. I said, well, good. I said, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. I said, if you're a Christian, why was you just using God's name in vain so loud? And he looked at me, man, he just broke. He didn't start crying. He looked at me and he goes, man, he goes, you're right. Hey, I don't know why. I said, did it not convict you? Did you not feel anything in there? He said, I do now. I said, yeah, because somebody confronted you about it. The law just went to work. I said, so I got to ask you a question. Do you really have what you think? Do you think you really have what you thought you had? I said, because you just saying it don't mean that you're a Christian. I just looked at him. I was like, you need to go home and pray. I just turned around and walked off. I'll be praying for you. The person was with me like, Kevin, you ain't going to pray for him? I said, no. See, we think we got to seal the deal. I planted the seed. That seed's going to grow. See, we got to put the tradition down. Kevin, you got to lead him. You got to lead him in that prayer. You got to get him to say the sinner's prayer. No, I don't. That's not even in the Bible. No, I plant the seed, and I could tell by the conviction on his face and what he's saying that the seed went deep. Not my part. Now, Lord, make it grow. You know what I did that night? I went home and went to sleep. I tell you what, a lot of people, if they'd have trust in the Word of God, doing what the Word of God, you wouldn't have to stay up all night praying. I know people say, well, Jesus stayed up all night praying. I know there's a couple times you got to stay up, but God don't require that from you every night. Amen? Get you a lot of rest. You start having faith in the Word of God, that the Word of God is going to grow. I tell you what, you get rid of some bags under your eyes. Why you got bags on you? I've been up all night praying. What was you doing? Sleeping. You ain't a very good Christian. I know. I just believe the Word of God. So the Word. Amen? Right, let me read on here. Holding the Bible. Listen, we must take the Word, get it into our heart, get it out, just like seed in the ground, then change will start happening. It will automatically start changing things in your life. Now check this out. First the blade. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade. So in other words, first you get the little piece of grass shoots up. Then the ear, that's the growing of the grain. After that, the full corn, the full piece of fruit in the ear. We can see here that change happens, it's progressive. First of all, we want it now. First of all, you put the word, you put the seed in the ground, what happens? Boop, blade pops up. A few days later, a week or so later, boop. Grain pops up. A few months later, boop, the thing's real tall. A month or two after that, boom, there's the kernels. They got to mature, bloom, bloom, all that stuff. Change. The Word of God, too many times we expect it to happen just fast as fast can be, 0 to 100. Let me tell you something. If you wasn't going to church before, now you're going to church regular, boom, blades popped up. If you was drinking before and you ain't drinking now, boom, grain just popped up. If you used to gossip about people and you ain't gossiping about people now, boom, something happened. How does that come? Well, I've been studying, Kevin. I've been studying in the Word of God about gossip. I really felt like the Lord convicted me about gossip. Okay, you've been studying in the Word about gossip. Yeah, how you doing? Well, you know what? Sometimes it's hard, but I've been keeping my mouth shut. Good, it's working. Keep going. Did you have to go to counseling for that? No. Did you have to go to gossip counseling? No. No, you didn't. Did you have to go to Facebook counseling to put it down? Put your Facebook down? No. Just I started spending time with God and started praying God. And he convicted me about spending so much time on Facebook, about how much time it was robbing from him and everything. So I see that's what happens when you spend time with God. See, when you truly spend time with God, he starts convicting you about the stuff that's still in his time. That make sense? All right. Then I'm going to read one last thing to you. Let's go over to verse 35. I want to read this. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, what did he say? We're talking about what here? The integrity of what? God's word. He said, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. So, in other words, they go. Jesus is in the boat. He's in the boat with his disciples. And other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Now, you got to get this picture. I was sitting in my office today thinking about this, and I've never seen this before. But the Bible says the boat was filling up with what? And Jesus was asleep with the what? Have you ever been laying on your pillow at night and you have a fever or something in your pillow and you get sweaty on it? That's not comfortable, is it? Have you ever spilt something, a glass of water on your pillow and tried to lay down on it? What'd you do? Did you just go ahead and go to sleep? So you got to get this picture. Have you ever been, I mean, Morgan, if you was asleep at night and I walked into your bedroom with a glass full of water and poured it on you, do you think that would disturb your sleep? If I just walked up and poured it on your head and on your pillow, that pillow's like a sponge, would it disturb your sleep? The Bible says that Jesus, the boat is filling up with water. That means that water is coming over the side of the boat. It had to be splashing on him. His pillow had to be wet, and he's snoozing. I've never thought about it that way. And it wasn't because he's the Son of God that all the water was going the opposite way when it got close to him. Now, look. Now, I want you to remember something. What did Jesus say in them red letters right there? What did he say? Right there in verse 35. Read it to me. What did he say? Let us what? Tell me what that means. Jesus said, we're going to the other side, right? We're going to the other side. So now they get out there and a little bit of a storm arises. Water starts filling up the boat. All right? And now listen, Jesus said, let us go to the other side and listen to this. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They didn't believe God at his word. Jesus had already said, let us go to the other side. That means Jesus saying, get in a boat, we're going to the other side, right? But when circumstances showed up, they believed the circumstances more than they believed God, and they all of a sudden lost faith in his word. He said, we're going to the other side, then let's go. So many times in our life, we talk about this word that we got in us. We talk about how strong our faith is. We talk about it, but when adversity shows up, we're the first ones to start doubting the very word of God. He says, let us go to the other side. Then I don't care what comes, hell, high water, storms, rains, it don't matter. If Jesus said we're going to the other side, that's the integrity of his word. And bless God, no matter what obstacle comes against us, we're making
making it to the other side. I don't care what the circumstances look like. Jesus said we're going to the other side. Yeah, but Pastor Kevin, those waves are big. Jesus said we're going to the other side. Yeah, but Kevin, it's coming over the boat. Jesus said we're going to the other side. But the boat is full of water. Jesus said we're going to the other side. Well, I don't think my kids ever be saved. Jesus said through Paul that your whole household shall be saved. I don't believe I can stand up. Jesus said, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't believe I can do that. Jesus said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We believe the word of God until adversity shows up, and then we fold up like a $3 lawn chair. We believe the word of God until the negativity in our own mind gets louder than the word of God. We believe the word of God until the doubt, the worry, the fear is screaming in my mind louder than the word of God. And I can always tell, even though I put on my religious face and I say the right things, because here's what happened. Retreat never believes the word of God. He says, go and possess the land. Go and possess the land. The integrity of God's word. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Why? That's the reason he could lay down in a boat and go to sleep, because no matter what come against him, the word spoke it. We're going to the other side. He awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus said, we're going. He didn't say nobody going down on the way. He said, we're going to the other side. Listen, they started questioning the integrity of what he said. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. Do you believe that God can perform in your life what his word says he can do? Do you believe that God can sanctify you? Do you believe that God can save you? Do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that God can deliver you? Do you believe that God can renew your mind? Because if you truly believe that God can renew your mind, then you're going to be sticking your head in this book. If you truly believe that Jesus can get you to the other side, then you're going to get in the boat. Now, I'm not saying at times that obstacles don't arise and your faith doesn't get shaken. Their faith got on the wind and the waves, but they got it back on Christ. If you believe that the Word of God can change your life, you're going to be in this right here. The rest of you are liars. The rest of us are liars. Hey, let's get in a boat and go to the other side. Nope. Ain't doing it. Why? Did you see the size of that storm? I ain't doing it. You seen them people over there, them folks over there, they a little throwed off. All right, I'll finish up. Then what did you do? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Then I believe many people say, well, Pastor Kevin, this right here is just Jesus exercising his control over, you know, the elements and nature and all that stuff. Okay, that's good. But he also turns it into a lesson of faith here. Yeah, God's got power over the wind and the rain and the sea and all that stuff. But he also turns it in. He said, why are you so, what's the problem? He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I mean, I done told you that we were going to the other side. How is it that you don't have faith that I'm going to get you to where I said I'd get you to? How is it that you had faith that the ability of them circumstances, you thought that the power they had to bring you to your demise was greater than the power that I had to get you through the situation? Why are you so doubtful? Why are you so fearful? Why do you not have any faith? Let me be sure I said, how is it that he didn't say you have little faith? He says you have no faith. You don't have faith in that I can do what I said I was going to do. Church, listen to the words that you speak and the things that come out of your mouth. We speak unbelief. We speak that stuff when we're speaking contrary to God's word.
And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Now check that out. The sea is about as unstable as you can get until we start talking about people. And people make the sea look like a solid foundation. The sea is up, the sea is down. The sea is up, the sea is down. You got high tide, you got low tide. But even the sea knows when Jesus says, be still.
But the disciples said, Jesus said, I'm getting you to the other side. They're like, no, we're about to perish. What are you going to do about it? Church, this is the key to victory. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's the key to victory.
Well, Pastor Kevin, I just don't have enough faith.
Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more you read the Word of God, the more time, the more seed gets in you, the more stuff grows. It's amazing how that works. The more seed you put on the ground, the more stuff's going to grow, right? The more time you spend with God, creation speaks. I encourage church. I encourage you're the only young one in here really tonight, Shay. All the rest of us old folks. All right? But I encourage, especially young people, allow God's creation to speak to you. Allow what you're doing in day-to-day. Shut down the constant influx. Well, adults too, we're just as bad. Shut down the constant influx of this Wi-Fi mess just being pumped into you all the time. Just step outside and say, God, speak to me through your creation like your word says. Start seeing the revelations that he gives. And what you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing that he's going to start giving you stuff that's really going to apply to your life and that you're really going to be able to start dealing with. I mean, we're so goofy out there today. You see stuff all the time. Well, what's the first thing that people do if they have a bad day? Put it on Facebook. Good thing they didn't have. You think Moses would have done that back when God was going to wipe out the children of Israel? Moses would have been like, God says, I'm going to kill them all. Moses goes, hold on. Israel, rant time. All right, now, God, I want to pray. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see how many responses I got on that real quick. Hold on, Lord. Oh, did you just see what Judah said? Woo! This will make you mad, Jesus. You just see. I mean, goofy stuff. Church, spend time with the Lord. We want to grow. You want to walk in freedom. Shut down the things on the outside. Stick your face in that book. Get to see the Word of God in your heart. And I guarantee you, too many of us try to change. We try all these different things. It's like in business. We try all these different things to try to make something happen. And just instead of going with what is working. Let's stand up. I'm done. Get the Word of God in you. I don't know what time it is. I ain't got my watch on. Oh. Just get the Word of God in you. Deep inside you. Well, I'm not very good at studying. We'll get better. How do you get good at studying? What makes you good at studying? Not doing it or doing it? Well, I'm trying. No, you're not. No. Let me give you a little idea. Let me give you some examples of not trying. How many of you in the morning, when you get up,
And be honest, don't lie. How many of you ever get up in the morning you like to hit your snooze about 4, 5, 6, 27, 28 times? Okay. You know why? And people are saying, get up. You go, I'm trying. No, you're not. You're trying to go back to sleep. You're not trying to get up. You're trying to go back to sleep. Quit lying and saying you're trying. Right or wrong? Snooze. Are you trying? No, you're laying there. You close your eyes again. You hit snooze. So to quit bugging you, you close your eyes. You're not trying to get up. You're trying to go back to sleep. But in order to make myself feel better, I say I'm trying. I'm trying to get in shape. No, you're not. If you are not changing your diet and going to the gym, you're lying. You're not trying. I say this to people. I say it to the few guys in our men's home. I said, when we say trying, that's the flesh's way of justifying future failure. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Does that mean, no, we don't try? If you're trying, okay, and I'm not taking away try, but trying, if you're trying to lose weight, then you are going, or if you're trying to get up and read your word, then what you're going to do is you are going to, if you're trying to lose weight, trying to do something, then you're going to start activating the things necessary to do that. Does that make sense? That's trying. But just talking about it is not. Just saying I'm trying is not trying. Trying actually happens when you've got the proper work to go with that. Well, I'm trying to quit being on Facebook. No, you're not. If you are looking at your phone, well, no, you're not trying to quit. Put it down. Well, I'm trying to get into the Word of God, but I got didn't know you're not to remove them. Well, leave it in the other room. Turn it off. You're not trying if you got the distraction laying right there beside you. So, no, you're not. But I'm trying to renew my mind. You are? So when those thoughts start coming, you just sit there and listen to it? I'm trying to outthink my thoughts. Trying to think louder. How do you renew your mind? Listen, if you listen to the Word of God half as much as you listen to thoughts in your head, you'd be a new creation. I'm trying to renew my mind. No, you're not. If you're not memorizing Scripture, if you're not studying the Word of God, if you're not, you're not trying. You're not. That's why nothing's changing. You're not, I know this sounds hard, but you're lying. Right or wrong? I'm talking about me. If I sit there laying in bed and I hit my snooze six times, my wife says, we're done trying to get up. Don't look like it. I got me 2 dozen chocolate donuts and I'm shoving them into my face. We done trying to lose weight. No, 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 I'm not. I want to and I have a desire to, but I don't have the discipline to. So I think by saying I'm trying, it's just going to happen. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all staring at me like, that's not me. It might only be me and Scott. I was trying the other day. I was trying to get to church the other day. I just couldn't get up. Amen. No, he's fine. All right, let's slow down. Does that make sense to everybody? So just think about how we justify our own failure. And I'm not saying we got to be perfect. I'm not saying that, okay? So please, I'm not speaking perfection. But just think about that. Well, I mean, I was talking the other day, and I'm like this. I'm like, you know what's really bad? moms and dads, can I talk to y'all for a second? Check this one out. You hit that snooze 72 times. Or however many times you hit it. Now check this out. And then when you finally do roll out of that bed and you're having to hurry up, now you're screaming and yelling at your kids because you don't want them to cause you to be late after you hit snooze 16 times. Y'all better hurry up. Y'all better hurry up through here. Get dressed. I ain't got time to be waiting. Let me ask you, Mom, Dad, if you wouldn't hit that snooze that 14th time, you could have been in there telling the kids to get dressed, but said now because you didn't get up out of bed, you're trying to blame it on the kids like it's your fault when you're the one in order of running your household. Things to think about. Amen? And then the kids get the short end of it because we hit the snooze 16 times. Y'all better hurry up. I ain't putting up this stuff. You better not call me to be late. Well, Mom, but I heard your alarm go off 22 times. That don't matter. I'm hurrying now. I expect you to do this. Don't, boy, I take my shoe off, I'll hit you. Y'all need to repent. Cry out to Jesus. Blame it on the kids because you can't get up and get moving. I'm trying. Nope. All right, I'm going to shut down before y'all get mad at me. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Y'all know that's the truth. We know it's the truth. Am I not lying to you? Y'all know it. 10:32, people come sliding in this parking lot sideways. And then they sit out there in the car. You know what they're doing? All right, let's wait to go in because I don't want to. Maybe we can miss the meet and greet. Sliding that driveway. I was trying to get here on time. Just little things I had. Amen. All right, I'm really going to shut up. I'm trying to quit, y'all. I'm trying to be quiet. I'm trying. I'm trying to land this thing somewhere. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Lord God, we love you, Lord, and please, Lord. And y'all don't think I'm coming across from any way saying that, picking on anybody in here. I come from this stuff, man. This is my own struggles, my own battles that I come through. I'm telling you, you can ask people I talk to on a regular basis. You know, please, I hope it don't sound like I'm coming across from I've got it all figured out and all that. No. This is stuff the Lord shows me about me, and then I bring it to y'all. This is stuff that the Lord showed me, stuff we work on, stuff that I work on, you know. And I believe that's the reason that some of us are so passionate about it, man, that, you know, I can sit there and talk about why do you talk about getting in shape and stuff so much now? Because the Lord started dealing with me about it. He started dealing with me about it, you know. What the Lord deals with me about, what the Lord ain't, we're called to do. We'll talk about everything in this world. We'll talk about drugs, lay the beer down, lay the alcohol down, lay the drugs down, lay all that stuff down. It's bad for you. But how many people in this world are dying from high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, diabetes? But that's acceptable. That's okay. And yet we're slowly, slowly killing ourselves in a society. And see, this ain't popular. Amen? But yet, we got to deal with it. I'm trying. No, we're not. I'm trying to quit smoking. If you just bought another pack of cigarettes, no, you're not. Amen. So we trick ourselves. Amen? The thinking stuff. So, Lord, we bless you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Lord, help us just to believe your word for what it is and what it says, what we're doing in our lives, Lord, to be a light for you, a light unto you, or let your light shine through us. That's the proper way to say it. And, Lord, we thank you for it. We bless you for it. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Well, and...